So someone asked me an amazing question the other day. They asked, why do we dance on Simchas Torah for? What's the point? We have a day that's designated for Torah. It's Matan Torah. It's Shavuos. That was the day that God gave us the Torah. So if our rabbis had the opportunity to designate the parsha so that they would start and finish on one holiday, it would make more sense to start and stop it on the anniversary of the wedding. You'd think that we get the Torah, we come down, on Shavuos, we commemorate that event, and then we start reading Bereishis. And then, same thing every year, when the Torah is done, we dance and sing about how lucky we have it that we've got a Torah, and we commemorate the fact that we've got a Torah. Much like the way a couple commemorates the fact that they got married, and they count years based on the actual wedding date. But that doesn't happen that way. We wait a good 5 months later, until we're in the middle of Sukkot, which is a seemingly completely irrelevant holiday to Matan Torah, to then bring the Sefer Torahs out and dance with the Torah and show our appreciation for this great gift called the Torah. Why? Why now for? Do it in Shavuos. Why do we do it at the end of Sukkot? That was a phenomenal question. And I didn't know an answer until I heard this story. And I think this story sheds a little bit of light to our question. The story goes back to the days of the Holocaust. A small town in Europe, I don't know the name of the town, a young family with a father, a mother, a husband and wife, with a small boy of the age of 7. I don't know their names. For the story, let's call them Abraham and Sarah Goldschmidt, with a small young son, David. It was getting worse and worse in the town, as we can only imagine, unfortunately. Abraham and Sarah were realizing that there's coming a time where the Nazis are going to come to their town too and do what they did. Hurt, kill, maim, who knows what. So the story goes, one night Abraham and Sarah are sitting in their room talking about what's going to be with their son David, Nebuch, the 7-year-old son. The chances of surviving these horrors are almost nothing. And they say to each other, what are we going to do? There's a Christian monastery, an orphanage at the edgecuts of town. I know that they're taking Jewish children, but what are we going to do? We don't want to give a kid to the monastery. But at the same time, we want our child to survive. They go back and forth, and finally, little David bursts into the room and starts to cry and says, I'm not leaving you. I don't want to leave. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay with you forever. And they say, sure, no problem. And they go, no, I mean it. I don't want to leave. I want to stay with you, no matter what. I want to stay with you. I'll be okay. I won't say anything. I'll be quiet. I'll be okay. Please don't let me go anywhere else. And the little boy cries himself to sleep that night. And that night, Sarah, the mother, with tears in her eyes, goes to the corner and realizes that tomorrow morning she's going to have to take her son David to the monastery, to their orphanage. So she goes over and she goes through her jewelry box and she takes out a locket. She takes a small picture of her husband, and David, sticks it in the locket. And then, behind the picture, she writes a letter. Dearest David, know that we love you so much. Be a good boy. Know that Hashem loves you so much, and be a good Jew. Love forever, Mommy and Daddy. And she takes the note and sticks it behind the picture, closes the locket. The next morning comes, she takes a chain, she puts a locket over David's neck, she walks into the outskirts, at the edges of town, into the orphanage. And the nun comes out and says, we'll take the boy, we'll take care of him. I can't guarantee we'll raise him as a Jew, we may raise him as a Christian, we'll take care of him. He says, do me a favor. I just want him to know that he has parents. So, for whatever you do, I can't control. Make sure he wears the locket. Make sure he knows he has parents. And the nun says, absolutely. I'll make sure, because the boys need to know that they had parents. That's all I can ask for. So with tears in her eyes, she leans down. She gives David a kiss. He's crying. She's crying. And off he goes into the orphanage. And off she goes off. And unfortunately, into the history of the Holocaust. Time goes on. David grows up, unfortunately forgets his parents, grows up as a Christian boy, knew that he was Jewish at one point, and knew that no matter what, he couldn't take off this locket. He gets a ticket to go on a boat to America, goes to America, tries to start college, that doesn't really work out, ends up getting a job selling jewelry in the 47th District in New York City, the Diamond District. 10, 20 years, selling jewelry to different people. One day he's sitting in a store, and a couple walks in with an older grandmother, a daughter, son-in-law, or son, a young man and woman, and an older woman comes in, and they call over, and they walk up to David's booth, and they start looking at engagement rings. And they look through one, and look through another, and the grandmother is gushing over her two little children. It's amazing, I can't believe it. It's been, you know, these kids, they're getting so old. She goes, in my town in Europe, the weddings were magnificent. Everyone came out, and we danced, and we sang. Do I miss it? And she goes, in this town, it was amazing. My town this, and I don't know the name of the town. And David looks up and says, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt. What town did you just say? She said, this in this town. He says, this in this town? She says, yeah. Is that okay? He goes, I'm from that town. She says, no, you're not. She goes, yeah, I'm from the town. He goes, it's impossible. The Nazis came in and rounded up all the children and killed them all. You're too young to be from that town. He says, no, my mother took me to an orphanage. Says, who's your mother? Sarah Goldschmidt. Sarah Goldschmidt? Oh, your mother. Did she love you? Did she talk about you? When they rounded us up, those Nazis, they stuck us in concentration camps. And I happened to have been in the same barrack as your mother. And at this point, David is freaking out. You were with my mother? She goes, David, did your mother love you? She used to carry a picture everywhere she went of you. And she would cry how much she missed you. And she would always say, I hope my David reads the letter. I hope my David reads the letter. And one day, the group that we were sitting around the barracks after working so hard, and some lady said to her, what letter? She said, I knew that he was going off, so I stuck the letter in the locket, in the locket that I gave him. And David's looking down, and at this point, he couldn't even control himself. He said, the letter and the locket. And he goes, he's holding back tears, and he says, I'm so sorry. Excuse me, please. And he runs into the room, and meanwhile he already had taken off that locket. That locket was getting old, it was a little girly, it was getting tight already, he was embarrassed of it, and he jumps into his desk, and he's looking through the stuff, he's looking through all his stuff, and he's like, oh my god, where's the locket, and he takes it, and he picks it up, and he sees it's the locket that he had when he was a kid. He never lost it because he felt guilty throwing it away, because his mother gave it to him, but he didn't have any real use for it anymore. And he looks at the picture, and then he takes out the picture, and he's just looking at it. Finally, a little thing comes out, a little piece of paper, and his eyes, he's going crazy. A piece of paper from my mother, and he opens it up, and it says, Dearest David, know that I love you. Know that Hashem loves you. Be a good boy. Know that Hashem loves you. Be a good Jew. Love will love you forever, mom and dad. And he's going crazy. His mother, his father, who he remembers now that he's coming back, all the memories about how great it was, how he didn't want to leave them, and how he was so upset when he was 7, and it's jogging his memory when he's a little kid. He has such good, warm memories of his parents. And finally, he's seeing the letter, he's bawling, he's seeing it, he's kissing the letter, he's jumping up and down, he's dancing that he has something from his parents, he's reading it over and over and over, backwards and forwards, up and down, he's hugging on to that letter, that's the last thing he has from his parents. It's tough for us to realize, but we are basically a soul that, in order to interact with other people and the world, has a body around it. But we're a soul. Each and every one of us is a soul that just uses its body to function. And at some point in time, before you were actually born in this world, that soul was a small little soul sitting at the edges of our Father in heaven. And at some point, our Father in heaven said, it's time to go. I gotta send you off into an orphanage. I gotta send you out to the secular world. You can't live anymore in the confines of our home. And we were not happy at all. And we didn't want to go. But he sent us out anyways. And he walked us out into the orphanage, so to speak. And sent us into the world. And as he sent us into the world, he said, I'm gonna give you a locket. I'm gonna give you a Torah. And it's gonna be a picture of me and you, but if you look at it inside, it's gonna have everything. But we come into this world, and life goes on, and we forget. And we're part of a world that Yiddishkeit, Judaism isn't all over us. And we wake up one morning and we look at the locket and we say, it's a burden to us. I don't know. I have it. I feel guilty throwing it away. So I'll file it off into a cabinet somewhere. I'll stick it in my desk drawer. I'm not going to throw it away. But I don't really feel a connection to it anymore. I don't really remember what life was like back way when. And then Elul comes in. And Elul says, Ani ledodi vedodi li. Elul says, remember the way it used to be in our old town? Elul says, I am for my beloved. God loves you. He misses you. And then Rosh Hashanah comes in. And Rosh Hashanah, we stand before God and we say, he's judging me? That means he must care about me. And we scream out, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, our Father. And that relationship builds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to us, HaBen Yakir Li Ephraim, Ephraim is B'nai Yisrael, my precious son, B'nai Yisrael, Im Yelet Shashuim, the child of my delight, my little boy, Kimi De Dabriver, whenever I speak of him, Zohar Eskerenu Od, I remember him over and over. Al Kain Hamu Me'ai Lo. Oh man, do I miss him? Do I love him? Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, I'm carrying around your picture, B'nai Yisrael, my children. I'm carrying your picture with me everywhere I go. I miss you, you're my favorite child. And we continue on, and then Yom Kippur comes. And we stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu and Yom Kippur, and we have no more barriers. We've got no more eating and drinking, just us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kohen Gadol walks inside the Kodesh Kodashim, inside the bedroom, so to speak, of us and God, and we stand before God, and we scream out, Ki Anu Amecha. And we scream, V'ata Eloheinu. We're your people. We scream out, Anu Nachlasecha. We're your heritage. We scream out, Anu Rayasecha. We're your loved ones, the Ata Dodenu, you're our beloved. And we start remembering, wow, my father loves me. I can't believe it. Then comes Sukkos. And Sukkos was sitting around, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, come into my Anani HaKavod, come into my house. And we immerse ourselves completely into God's house in the Sukkah. And now it's Yom Simchasenu. And now we are completely immersed with true happiness. And we've gone through this entire experience, and we're saying to ourselves, man, do I miss God. And then we realize there's a letter in the locket. There's the Torah that God gave us when He left us the first time that is His way of saying, I love you. Be a good boy. I'm going to teach you how to be a good boy. It's a little more complicated than that letter that was written before Him, because life is a little more complicated than that. And we read it backwards and forwards and ups and downs. We realize for the first time that this is God's way of saying, this is what you have of me. I know that we're not together now. And I know I'm going back, so to speak, up to Shemayim, but this is what we have left of each other. Then, and only then, do we realize how beautiful it is. Only after do we remember, is our memory jogged of what life was like and how much God loves us and how much we love Him, does that Torah that was stuck on the bottom of our desk drawer, that locket that looked like just a picture that we sort of kept around our neck, but you know, is a burden to us, do we reopen and read backwards and forwards and ups and downs, and then we say, oh my gosh, I've got a Torah, and we start to kiss it and kiss it and dance with it and dance with it. The reason maybe why Simchas Torah comes at now and not at Shavuos is because Simchas Torah doesn't celebrate the Torah. It celebrates God and our relationship with God. The Torah is His letter to us. If it would have been on Shavuos, maybe we would have thought the Torah is the end-all and be-all. No, the Torah is the mechanism, the letter that we create a relationship with God with, and no better time a year do we have to appreciate and love that relationship than right now. After an Elul, after Rosh Hashanah, after Yom Kippur, after Sukkot, then we say to ourselves, I can't take it anymore. And we look at the last thing we have of Him, that letter, and we dance and sing and dance because we realize how beautiful that is. We realize how beautiful, not only the Torah, of course the Torah, but not only the Torah, but how beautiful our relationship with God is. And how much He misses us, and how much we miss Him. And that's the joy, and that's the rejoicing, that's the singing and dancing of Simchas Torah. So someone once said to me, I feel uncomfortable. I don't really know that much Torah. What do I do? So someone once told me an amazing thing that I usually give as an answer. He says, if you ever notice at a wedding or at any type of party, there's two types of people that are rejoicing at the party. There is the people that are actually close with the people, right? Somebody who's close with the bride or the groom, a parent, a relative, a close friend, or somebody who wants to be close with that person. Right, you go to a wedding of a big rabbi. You go to a wedding of a popular person. What do you see? All the close people dancing, and everyone that sort of knows the rabbi doesn't know him very well, but he just appreciates what he does, brings to the world. He appreciates whatever little time he has. He wants to get closer to him, so he feels that his simcha is just like my simcha. So too with Simchas Torah. The people that dance Simchas Torah are usually one of two people: people that really know the Torah, the rabbis, whoever, the people that are sitting around that learn, but those that realize how important it is. And those that go through an experience like what we're going through and saying, you know what, I don't know that much, or at least I don't know as much as I want to know, but I know enough to know that that's important. And I'm going to rejoice and dance because it's important, because I recognize its value. That's Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is looking over at the mechanism that God gives us, that letter, and saying, you know what, we're leaving. This is it. This is the last hurrah. We've been working at this for so long. And now God's sort of saying, enter into the winter time. Now you're at a time where we don't really have much holidays coming up. It's sort of that separation between us and Hashem. This is the time where we say, oh, but at least we have the Torah left. At least, although God, you're sort of going back in some way, and we don't understand how, and we're going off into the winter time, but we have the Torah that we keep with us. That's rejoicing over that. We're rejoicing over God. And so hopefully this year we'll be able to rejoice both over our relationship with God and over the Torah.